Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here. I came right from a biodiesel plant, so I feel a little underdressed. I apologize for that.
I totally understand. I came from a parking lot.
I'm not in my biodiesel outfit, but I'm in my DC outfit. I just wanted to say one thing first before Ben takes over. Being a fellow Massachusetts native and with a family, a number of my family members in Ipswich, in your district, but I, one of the main things that I just wanted to say is that I recognize, it's wonderful to recognize a candidate who can pronounce the word arts properly.
So. Exactly, exactly.
Thank you. Ben.
Yeah, my R is very pronounced, so I didn't say it right. This, I was just telling the audience, as a citizen, I'm sort of here and try to talk to all the candidates about how they would steward and navigate such an important area of policy as arts. And the first thing I'd just like to get established is, what's your personal relationship with, you know, the arts? Anything about when you were growing up, did you play, and you don't have to have, but, you know, play music or dance or art?
Yeah, absolutely, I did. And, you know, in the introduction, you heard that I did 4 tours in Iraq, and that fundamentally is why I got into politics, because I wasn't interested in politics. I didn't study it in school. I was a physics major, I think they mentioned. For everybody in life who sees my resume and not my transcript, that makes me sound really smart.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was being in Iraq and seeing some of the consequences of failed leadership in Washington that got me into politics. And so then you might ask, okay, well, how did you get into the Marines? And I got into the Marines because of the most important mentor I've ever had in my life, who was actually the minister of my college church. And he talked about the importance of service and how it's not enough just to believe in service, you should go find a way to serve. And I looked at different options, but I settled on the Marines. So then you might ask, how did I get into that college church? And I got into that college church because I play the organ.
There you go.
And so there's the connection to the arts. I mean, I literally would not be sitting here as a United States congressman, let alone running for president, if not for playing the organ. I started playing the piano when I was 5. My brother and I were very into music, the only difference being that he's just generally better at it than me. But we had a competition, and I was 2 years ahead of him. And for some reason, I think because of going to church as kids, we really kind of admired the organ, like, it's called the king of instruments, it's so big and powerful and all this stuff, and so I declared that I would be the first to play the organ, and by virtue of being 2 years older than him, I won that race.
So you're like foot pedals and everything.
Oh yeah, yeah, the whole thing, multiple keyboards, foot pedals, it's actually an amazingly challenging instrument.
Yeah.
And I love playing the piano, that was sort of my next challenge, but music has always been a real part of my life. And It's interesting, one of the ways that I think I've really seen art impact my life and the lives of some of my friends today is through art therapy, which a lot of veterans are taking up coming back from the war. And a couple months ago, early in this campaign, I decided to talk about dealing with mental health myself, dealing with post-traumatic stress when I came back from the war. And in so doing, I actually became the only presidential candidate in American history to do that. We've always, you know, we've heard stories of Abraham Lincoln was depressed, so was Grant, Eisenhower and H.W. Bush all had some of the same symptoms of post-traumatic stress, but none of them talked about it, because talking about it, there's such a stigma against it, you know. You don't have a future. I thought that might be the last day of my campaign when I talked about it, but instead it's become a theme of my campaign, dealing with mental health. And I've seen what a difference arts therapy has made in the lives of many fellow veterans.
That two things stick out about what you've just said that I want to chase down. One of them is, that the NEA has a big focus on the military at the moment, and arts therapy and music therapy.
Yeah, no, they do.
And of course, there's probably not a wide understanding of how the NEA or how we decide to take a little bit of money that we put into the arts, which is truly, I think, not enough. But how we steer that from as a presidential candidate, as president, how do you see then steering an organization like the National Endowment for the Arts? What do you see for the future of that?
Well, first of all, I'd want to grow it. You know, I believe like another president from Massachusetts, John F. Kennedy, that we should strive towards a world where we don't have to worry much about war and instead can focus on growing the arts. And when I think about the life of my 10-month-old daughter, I mean, look, if she wants to serve in the Marines, I'd be very proud, but I'd be even more proud if the Marine Corps doesn't need to exist anymore because we're past that, and we can just focus on growing the arts. Now, some may say that's unrealistic, and they may well be right. I'm someone who believes in strong national security as well, and that we're a long way away from getting rid of the Marine Corps. But I believe it's important to have aspirations like that, and I believe it's important to understand the role that art should have in our world, not just the role that it does have, but the role that it should have in the future. And the fact that the NEA gets, I think, 40 cents per capita or something like that now.
Yeah, we'd like to see it a dollar, I think.
Right? Yeah, I mean, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about what that would mean for this country. What it would mean for our economy, what it would mean for our culture, what it means to, you know, for America to once again lead the world in the arts. That should be our aspiration.
I've found as I've delved into this over the years that I came into, I must have been with the Americans for the Arts for a good 8 years of doing these things. And when I began, I didn't actually understand what the NEA did. And so that's part of what I try to tell my audience, because it was a big sort of political hit job on that, you know, a couple of decades ago, where people's understanding of what the National Endowment for the Arts actually did was very skewed. So I like people to understand that a lot of it goes into, you know, music and arts therapy for veterans, or for reestablishing the arts in a either could be a rural or urban place where you see the that area of town regenerate. You know, you follow the art. People are interested, and suddenly you've got this. I've played all these places where it wasn't safe 20 years ago. And you can see the growing of the arts in that section. And there's a cafe then, and there's another cafe. And then there people are interested, and they're parking their cars and coming, and that's important. I think maybe people understanding what the NEA does, seems that you do understand what they do, or you wouldn't be.
Well, and I think one of the points that you're making is that I don't see the 40 cents or the dollar per capita as a cost.
Right.
I see it as an investment.
Correct.
And I think the return on that investment is very positive. I mean, helping veterans get integrated back into society, I mean, veterans do really well back here at home once they can just, you know, get through that integration process, just like I had to do, you know, deal with my post-traumatic stress, but then move on from it. And so that's a positive investment in our economy and our future as a country. Just like developing, you know, rundown parts of cities or towns and getting the arts going, which you're right, often leads directly to the cafes and the music halls and the bandstands and everything else that then inspire people to live there. It's all positive for economic development.
The other thing that you mentioned was service, and it is become increasingly interesting to me, the idea of national service somehow established around the arts. It seems like there's a precedent for that, of course, back in the Depression, but I think the artists and the art students and are all willing to get out there, roll up their sleeves, and do things to make to make those sections of town better, to help people with music and arts therapy. And would be interested in your thoughts on that kind of national service, like an arts core.
Is sort of a planted question because I have the most ambitious national service program of any of the presidential candidates. I'm a huge believer in it. And there's an awful lot of great things that can be done through AmeriCorps-like programs. I don't think you should expand national service by expanding the military. You want to expand programs like AmeriCorps. I've talked about a federal Green Corps to make our country more climate resilient, to deal with climate change. I was recently approached about the idea of a sort of diplomatic corps to start training people to be good, you know, future leaders at the State Department, as opposed to just future leaders in our military. And an arts corps is something that we should work on as well. The bottom line is that I think we would be a stronger, more united country if more young Americans had the opportunity to serve. And I firmly believe that from my own time in the Marines. You know, I just so you understand, I was in the Marine Infantry. So I wasn't sitting in the office. I was leading troops on the front lines. And my fundamental job as a Marine platoon commander was to bring together this remarkably diverse group of Americans from all over the country with different backgrounds, different beliefs, different religious beliefs, different political beliefs, and get them all united behind a common mission to serve America. And to do that in a very divided environment, in the midst of a war that I was an outspoken critic of. But finding that unity from such a diverse group of Americans is something that national service can do. It's also, by the way, a big part of why I'm running for president, because I think that that's ultimately the job of our nominee, is to build this very diverse coalition that can win a general election and ultimately get things done once the election is over.
And unfortunately, we're 30 seconds away from the end of our time, so is there some final message?
You know, there's one other thing we didn't get to talk about, which is I know that I did my homework on some of the earlier discussions of the day, and I know there's been a lot of talk about STEAM education and the importance of having arts be a part of STEM. You know, there's a lot of connections, right? A lot of people have pointed out to me that part of why I was able to do decently well in physics might have to do with the fact that I played the piano and the organ, because those connections have been made. But I want to go a step farther, which is to say that one of the things I've been talking a lot about, not just in this race, but as a member of Congress, is how the economy is changing so quickly today that jobs are literally just getting automated out of existence. It's like a new industrial revolution, except it's the automated revolution, and it's happening at an even faster pace. And one of the things we have to come to terms with is the fact that a lot of STEM jobs are easy to automate, but creative jobs are not. And so in some ways, look, I'm a product of STEM education. I'm here with a physics degree, and I'm very proud of that. But the emphasis on STEM is almost 10 years too late. And what we really need to think about is how to get kids prepared for creative jobs that are not gonna be automated away. Even computer programmers right now are getting automated out of existence. That's called machine learning. But creative jobs are not. So even beyond STEAM, I think we just have to have a much more concerted focus as a country on getting our kids prepared for creative careers.
That's great.
Thank you very much.
So, thank you.
So, thanks, man.